بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. جزيل الكرام من الشرف أو تعالى الشيخ حضرة حكيم محمد أخضر صاحب رحمة الله عليه. The title of which is أبني مالك سأذكر كفريا ذكر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أبني مالك سأذكر كفريا ذكر. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر حمد سے اس زباں کو تو حماد کر حمد سے اس زباں کو تو حماد کر سر کو چوکٹ پہ ان کی تو سجاد کر حمد سے اس زباں کو تو حماد کر سر کو چوکٹ پہ ان کی تو سجاد کر قلب و جا کو تو اس در پہ عباد کر قلب و جا کو تو اس در پہ عباد کر اور سکون دل و جا کو خلاد کر قلب و جا کو تو اس در پہ عباد کر اور سکون دل و جا کو خلاد کر اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ وکفا والسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفا اما بعد فرینڈز these are the اشعار of our dada شیخ حضرت عارف باللہ رومی زمانہ تبریز دورہ حضرت شاہ مولانا محمد حکیم اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ which are filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and much here is dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala انٹائٹل ڈیڈ اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر. ویک اپ فرام یور سلمبر. ون از ٹو ویک اپ فرام آور سلیپ, ویک اپ فار تہجد صلاح, وٹ ایور دا کیس مے بی, سیکریفائس ان فرام سلیپ. اینڈ ون از ان آور لائف, ان آور ڈیلی ایکٹیویٹیز ایز وی گو الانگ ان آل آور چورز, ٹو ریئلی کم آؤٹ آف آور سلمبر اینڈ ٹو ریئلائز دا پرپز آف لائف, دا آبجیکٹ آف لائف, اینڈ کم ان ٹو دا پرزنس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ and make a change in one's life so that one can be joined to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we are taught that towards the end of his life, Hazrat Mullah Rashid Ahmed Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah alayh used to always make this dua that, oh Allah, make me yours and you become mine. That if a person becomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to jo tu ek tu mera, to sab kuch mera. That, oh Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine. Aur jo tu ek nahi mera, to koi shay nahi mere. No Allah, if you are not mine, then nothing is mine. When a person becomes beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam and says to him that I love such a certain person, you should also love him. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam comes down and he conveys the message to all the other malaika, who in turn when they come into the world with their duties, then this love is transmitted into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person's object of life is, in all we have responsibilities, we have to do whatever we have to do, but just bakar dil bayar. This is the object of life, that whatever our responsibilities are, in whichever field we are, whether in business, we are employed by somebody, a person is a laborer, is a mechanic, whatever the case may be. But his heart should always be joined to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our haqiqi malik. And in every rakat of salah we say, maliki yawmiddin. And that, oh Allah, you are the owner of the day of Qiyamah. You are the controller. There's nobody to ask you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true Malik. And Ya Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah, these things that wake up from your slumber in life and come and beg at the threshold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, ke dil ko sajda mein ro ro ke abad kar. Now go into sajda and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said just now, Maliki yawm al-deen, before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most beneficent, most merciful, most benevolent, most kind, most compassionate. That all the mothers of the world put together, their love for their offspring put together, cannot equate to a billionth of a trillionth of the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for his makhluk. One time Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, upon which she became very, very pleased. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, oh Aisha, this is my dua continuously for my ummah. If this was the love that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his ummah, then how much love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got for his creation. So yeah, Hazrat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now wake up from your slumber, come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go into sajda, and faryad kar, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, for his compassion, for his forgiveness. And in this way, fill your heart up with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmatullah alayhi give me that advice, says, Ruh ko nur e taqwa se tushad kar, that the soul of yours, the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned it, alastu bi rabbikum, that am I not your Rabb? And we all answered positively. And we said, yes Allah, you are our Rabb. Definitely, we all positively, we answered affirmatively. Now that ruh, which you have spent your life in such a way, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now realize, they bring taqwa into that ruh. Taqwa which we have been taught here, that is one of those aspects which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions profusely in Quran Sharif. Many a time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word taqwa twice in one ayat. In one ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, that have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This taqwa is that thing, that aspect that will guide a person in life. It will guide a person. Taqwa, that we should lead our life in such a way that we don't do any action that tomorrow in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have to feel ashamed. So now bring that into your life, bring that taqwa, bring that Allah consciousness into your life, that it makes and guides a person to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and brings a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this, enlighten that ruh, bring life in that ruh, that is the person can realize what is the purpose and what is the object of life. Nafs dushman hai, dushman ko nashad kar, that your nafs, your desires, your passions, these are all your enemies. And it has been mentioned to us in Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. And as we have been taught here, not Amir, Ammara, the superlative,
that this nafs is such a thing that will always draw you towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how much a person cries, you should never become complacent and never feel that, no, now I have reached somewhere. Always be on your guard, always be on the lookout, that this nafs, these desires, which take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which leads a person to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nafs in true essence is your enemy. The nafs bayna jambayk, which is in your bosom, all the time that a person has desires, now to acquire those desires and fulfill them, whether he falls into halal, haram, he doesn't feel bothered, he doesn't give it a second thought. Stay away from this, bring this taqwa into life, and this nafs that is always guiding you towards evil, realize it, and try and bring it under control, because it truly, this is your enemy. دیکھو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر. That your heart and lighten it and fill it with the light, with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fill it with the closeness and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person comes closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will feel that difference in his life, that what I was and what I am. It will lead the person to realize and take a deep sigh and a deep breath that, how could I have spent my life in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who blesses me with everything, who is so kind, so compassionate, all my needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled. Water to drink, food to eat, clothes to wear, shelter to stay. All my needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complete. When I'm sick, who is it? When I'm sick, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives me help. Whatever, all my desires, all my needs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes it. Now a person should realize this and bring that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, so much so that it leads a person to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that main jahan bhi rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, taqwa mera salamat rahe. That, oh Allah, wherever I be, in whichever condition I be, may be, whether I be on the earth or whether I be flying in the air, on a flight, or maybe on a ship, on the seas, wherever I may be, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa of mine should remain intact. And I should not disobey you in the least. And whenever you give me the tawfiq of staying away from sin, then I should be happy about it. So much so that I should never ever have this remorse that, oh, I could have done this, or I could have done that. Previously in my life, I was doing this, I still could have enjoyed this in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shouldn't even have that remorse. I should be happy to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hum se is zaban ko tu hamad kar, sar ko chokhat pe unki tu sajjad kar. That in the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wrap your tongue with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Qari Amir Hassan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi came here to South Africa, he told us that the person who will constantly read all the masnoon du'as, he will be counted among those people who made the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that uzkurullah dhikran kathira. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a dhikr, a remembrance which is in abundance. A person will recite all the masnoon du'as, inshallah he will be counted in that group. So Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi is saying that with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep your tongue moist. Keep your tongue wet with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and like we are taught here, that in daily in our life, instead of saying, oh God, oh my, rather say astaghfirullah, rather say alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, bring us onto our tongue, that we are constantly in the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi is saying that qalb wa jaako tu is dar pe abbaat kar, aur sukoon adiz wa jaako, that your heart and your mind and your soul, they bring it to the threshold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sajda, spend your life in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this way, make your life, make your soul khallat, perpetual, that you will be always successful. Ala inna hizballahi humul ghalibun humul muflihun. That the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who led their lives the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to lead their lives, those with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy, They are the people who are really successful. Khallad, now they have become perpetual. They will be always in Jannah, in the gardens of Jannah, in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ridwanu min Allahi Akbar, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the greatest thing that a person can achieve. And a person can only acquire it by staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last couple of Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر. That Oprah is using his own name, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi, but it is nasihat to us, advice to us. These are people who have spent their whole lives in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never ever disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're giving us advice that اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر. Sacrifice your desire. Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi used to say that tell your nafs that I will slaughter you, I will make your blood flow, but I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of my desire, I won't do something that will be displeasing, that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy. So sacrifice your desires. Many a time it will bring remorse, it will bring regret, that oh, all my friends, this is what they are doing, they are going here, they are going to do this, they are doing this, and it will bring remorse and grief to a person. But sacrifice your desires. Sacrifice your desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the greatest thing that a person can achieve. Apne Rab ki khushi se dil abad kar, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring life into your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with understanding. First of all, give us all tawfiq to practice.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeena istafa. Respected elders and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world for a very short while. And as we have learned so beautifully from this beautiful bayan of our Honorable Dala Shaykh, explained beautifully by Mufti Sahib, that our object and purpose is to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This connection of Allah ta'ala is a very, very great connection. But on the one hand, it is not so easy also to get the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us here and put some trials and tribulations. In other words, what we call fitnas. And today we say this world is full of fitan. Allah ta'ala has put this fitan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind that Allah ta'ala has given us our full protection, how to stay away and how to be safe from all these fitnas. One is this beautiful gatherings, the majalis of the Ahlullah, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah ta'ala commands us, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. That all people of Iman, in fact this is an address for everybody, the whole of mankind. But generally only those people who will take heed, who are interested in getting connected to Allah. And the first sign of interested of getting connected to Allah is that a person recognizes who has given us life, Allah Rabbul Izzat. And a person realizes, my life is in, nobody is in control of my life, not even myself. Only Allah Ta'ala is controlling my life. So I have to be the slave of Allah. And this is Iman. That Iman is not just to know, but Iman is to accept fully that Allah Ta'ala has given me my life. I have to lead my life how Allah wants me to lead my life. And in that way, we'll find every type of benefit and we'll find every type of safety from whatever conditions come into the world. And these fitnas have been coming from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were different types of fitan. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala has sent him to inform us of all these fitan. And today, in this time and age, we hear that the fitnas of all these things, that all this propaganda that's going around in the world, which our Shaykh teaches us, we shouldn't even talk about it. This new world order, one world religion, the fitnas of the Dajjal, all this will come. But Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانِ ضَعِيفًا. This is all the plot and planning of Shaitan. And Shaitan's plotting and planning what all his allies, the whole kufr world put together, whatever they can plot is very weak compared to Allah's greatness, Allah's power, Allah Ta'ala's control. And when a person just shows his inclination and one's connection with Allah, see how Allah will protect you.
and how Allah Ta'ala will keep you under His protection no matter what the conditions may be. And Allah Ta'ala says that their planning outwardly it will seem لِتَزُولَ مِنُ الْجِبَالِ, that it can move mountains. But in reality, the plotting of shaitan and the whole kufr world is just like the spider web. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْأَنْكَبُوتِ. And the spider webs, they're the weakest houses in the world you can get. That you just take one feather duster and you just wipe it out. But how to use that feather duster? We need these majalis of the Ahlullah, and we need to realize that without the connection of Allah and without being a talib, a sadiq, a true seeker, then only Allah Ta'ala's help will come. And like ulama explained, particularly in this time and age, it is necessary, and we should try and make it our ma'mool, one of our wazaif, that we try and read Suratul Kahf, not only on the day of Jummah, daily if we can. If hafizers can read the whole surah, even easy. But if we're not hafiz and we can't manage to read the whole surah, read the first 10 ayats and the last 10 ayats. Then inshallah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that Allah Ta'ala will give us such a nur from the heavens till the earth that will protect us from all types of fitan. That even if Dajjal has to come out, you'll be safe from those fitna. And in this surah, Allah Ta'ala explains that look at, take an example of those youngsters, young boys, living in such an environment that was just full of idol worship. And such an environment that generally it was the trend that they used to go out once a year for the festive season and engage in sacrificing animals for the idols, worshipping the idols. These youngsters also went out, and they were not ordinary youngsters. They were youngsters from a royal family. And when they came out in this environment, each one, it came in his heart that this is not the right way to live. How can we be sacrificing animals for these stones? How can we be worshipping shore stones? So one youngster immediately went away from that gathering. So from here we learn how to save ourselves from fitna. One is get away from those environments. Don't stay in that environment and say, what can I do? We stay in the environment of a mall. We stay in an environment of sports and we say, what can I do? No, we have to move out of that environment. So one youngster, it is mentioned, Mufassirin mentioned, one youngster went out, he said, went far by one tree, he sat under that tree. Not long, another youngster came, and all from royal families. Another youngster came feeling uneasy, that what are these people doing? And he separated himself. In that way, four or five, how many Allah Ta'ala knows best exactly how many they were. And this is also, Mufassirin explained that is not important. Take the lesson that is important, that how they were concerned of their iman. How many they were, that is not important. What is important is that they were young boys, and in that environment, they were still concerned of their iman. And when they were concerned of the iman, they all went one side, they didn't know one another, they were sitting for a while, and each one didn't know why the other one came, and it was not so easy to make it known why we came here. And then finally one Balkarij, why you came here? Says that, I'm worried that how can we live in this way? He says, I also came for that. But in any case, the king came to know, he summoned them, and then he said, no, you must worship what I worship, and you must worship these idols. They said, we will not worship. And that we all, Rabbu Samawat, Rabbuna, Rabbu Samawati wal Ard. Our Rabb is the creator of the heavens and earth, and we remain firm on that. The king said, because you are young people, I'll give you a day to think about it. Immediately they went to seek refuge, that where Allah will protect them, and they made dua, that, O Allah, guide us, atina min ladunka rahma, O Allah, send your mercy upon us, and guide us to righteousness. And Allah Ta'ala showed them where to take refuge in the cave. Allah showed His Qudrat, that despite outwardly it looked like there was no place for safety, but Allah Ta'ala's protection came upon them. So in any zamana, in any time, what we learn from this incident, and we should read the surah with this intention that, oh Allah, strengthen my iman, protect me from all these fitan. So we have to make dua and then come in these majalis and stay away from the wrong environment and come in good environment and see how Allah Ta'ala will protect our iman, and not protect it, Allah will instead strengthen our iman. And we don't have to talk about all these kufriyat, what these people are plotting. Realize Allah's qudrat is far above all that. Allah give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفتطمعون أن يؤمنوا لكم وقد كان فريق منهم يسمعون كلام الله ثم يحرفونه من بعد ما أقلوه وهم يعلمون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat al-karima, Allah explains one further great evil of the Bani Israel, particularly the Jews and even the Christians, but yeah, particularly to the Jews, as in the beginning in Surah Baqarah, to a great length Allah explained all the evils. And that was for two main reasons. One is that we recognize that them, then we realize we cannot take them as our friends. That these are our enemies, these are the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, these are the enemies of their own aqal and their brains, who are enemies of themselves. So how can we befriend them? And worse, how can we make them our leaders and follow them? So for that reason, and the other is that we must not fall in the same trap also, that we don't get involved in doing the same thing. So this evil which Allah Ta'ala is referring to here of the Bani Israel is called Tahrif, that is changing the scriptures. The Jews are famous, they changed the scriptures, the Torah which Allah Ta'ala had given them, and it is famous about the Bible also. The Christians have changed it also so much. So this was a great evil, and to change anyone, for example, if the father gives some instruction and the son changes the words of the father, how upset the father will be. The boss gives some instructions and he said, you must get this work done, and then the person he told to, that person changes those words. So how angry won't the boss get, any person? And especially it is famous, poets, and person changes the words of the poets, those poets become very angry that you have changed my words, what I have said. Allah Rabbul Izzat's words, and somebody changes it. How serious a crime is not that? Very serious crime. So this it refers to also, the Mufassirin have explained, there are two explanations. One is Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had chosen 70 people, his elite people, the very pious, very close people, to go with him to Mount Tur, Mount Sinai, and where Allah was going to recite to them his ayat. And these, not only Musa alayhi salatu wasalam heard it, but all the 70 people also heard the instructions of Allah, the voice of Allah Ta'ala, they also heard it. But when they came back to the people, they narrated all that as it is. But then what tahrif, what change they made, they added at the end that Allah said, if you can, you must make amal on it. And if you can't, then no problem. So this is the change they had made in there. Now if you give somebody instructions and he adds this word at the end, as a boss, as a senior, as a responsible person, we can imagine how terrible that is. The other is that they heard the Torah from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then they made changes in that. And the particular things the ulama refer where they made changes was the description of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his stature, his ways, etc. They made changes in that. So anyway, this is what that was. And later on we will see, inshallah, that toward the end of the talk, how this affects us also. So all the Jews and Christians also, and Muslims came much later after that.
Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam came between 600-700 years after Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. So all this time, even after that, all these three religions, all the matters were controlled by religion. For the Christians, the church controlled everything, even the worldly matters. Mundane matters was also controlled by the church. The same with the Jews and with the Muslims also. The Muslims, the deen was a complete deen. We know our deen is complete. So in us, politics is not something else, and our deen is something else. It is all one. This carried on all the time. Until about between 300 to 500 years ago, when from Europe then, you find that this so-called enlightened people, they came and they made a difference between religion and dunya. They separated the two. That religion is one thing and dunya and the things of dunya are a separate thing. So this dunya thing was now a thing without religion. So that is what we call secular. Any secular state is a state that there is no religion in there. Religion and Allah does not come in that equation. Secular education is that education where there is no religion in there. And it doesn't fit in there. Allah doesn't come in there. So they cause this division. And from there, they have been working all the time in order to get dominance over religion. If we go through the history a little, we see still, even the church, they were very strong and they executed people who spoke things against Allah, against religion. This was there all the time. And our Islamic Sharia also, any person who turns away from deen or he blasphemous statements he makes, then he is wajibul qatl. You have to kill that person. So this was in our deen also. But anyway, they have been carrying on. And then finally, they have now made their own complete, just for us to understand, to have one word, their own way of life, which we can say their religion. But their religion without, which is no religion. But their way of life, what they have made. In that, they were faced with the big problem that when there is no Allah, there is no deen, then where did insan come from? So then they concocted this theory of Darwin's theory of evolution, that man came from monkeys. But even that, if we see that one monkey became a man, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that if one monkey could become a man in the history of the monkeys, then up to today, why didn't another monkey also become? And if at that monkey now, was it a male or a female? Where did the other partner come then? If they became human beings, then where did the others? And if that was the case, where did the first monkey come from? If that is 100% false, it is the worst theory that occurs. And this is also one important thing we learn also from Surah Baqarah, that the minute a person, the spot he leaves the commands of Allah, divine law, he goes towards stupidity, idiocy, and he becomes such, like for example, if anyone speaks against deen, speaks against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an example like 12 o'clock in the bright sunny day when the sun is out and a person speaks bad about the sun. The sun is dark. There is no light in the sun. And a person talks like this and he spits at the sun. And he vomits up at the sun. And he takes out venom, poison against the sun. All that falls back on his own face. The sun, where is he going to reach? The sun is the sun. And you are here on this earth, you 1.5 meter in sun, and you want to spit at the sun, it all falls back, and where it falls back on your own face. So anyone who speaks against deen, and the minute we leave deen, the commands of Allah, and we go to our own self, and follow our own things, our lusts, our thinking, that is what is happening. We are now spitting out towards the pure deen of Allah and it's falling back on us. And worse still, if we go and follow atheists, what they are telling us to do. Now we leave the commands of Allah, the pure teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are the commands of Allah ta'ala, and we follow atheists, we follow kuffar, we follow mushrikeen in anything, whether their beliefs, whether in their things, like nowadays, Allah protect us all with the festive seasons of this non-believers. If we take part in anything of that, it is also so stupid that these people who are so evil, and it is so dangerous for our iman, even to just wish them well over their festive seasons, etc. All this is very dangerous for our iman. So we have got a certain way of our own. And also how stupid a person becomes, that Musa alayhi salam took out these people from the worship of Fir'aun, who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. And he made great effort, and he made great sacrifices. He had to fight Fir'aun in order to do this. When he got them out from there, and he went and collected the Torah from Allah Ta'ala, immediately they went away, with the left the commands of Allah, they went into the worship of the calf. The bull, cow we call it, the whatever it is. But now ulama explained that Fir'aun, after all, he was a human. He ruled for 400 years without a headache, it is narrated. So such a person who had so long life and so good health, and he had brains also. And then they left that and they went and worshipped a bull. And the bull is not the small of a bull, the offspring of a bull, and that also is known for its stupidity. Like you say, you stupid bull. They went and worshipped that. So the minute we leave the commands of Allah, wherever in anything we go away from it, we are going to, a person leaves namaz, he is going towards stupidity. A person leaves jamaat namaz without a valid reason, he is going to stupidity. Anything of a person goes away from truthfulness, and he goes to, we can see, a person goes away from sharam and haya, and he goes to be sharmi and be haya, immorality, we can see. A person leaves his halal wife and he goes to any other haram, we all can see how to watch stupidity. So this is what happens. So these people, they left the deen out. So we can imagine to what stupidity they have gone. And they made this own religion of theirs. Now in that religion of us, what we have to see, we have to be very careful in our, for our lives, for our akhirat, for our deen, and even our dunya's life. So they made their own sort of religion. In that own religion of theirs, for example, we can see clearly, they brought a thing like banking. Whereas in our way, Islamic way, there is no banking. We won't read in the history of Islam that there were banks. And now they, when they pushed it in down our throats, what all different channels they use, today we have come up with Islamic banking. Where there are no banks, now we have come up with Islamic banking. This is just like wearing a mask of just the words of Islam. Now all the Islamic terminology is used. And generally the masses also, yes, we going for this Islamic banking, that Islamic banking, all that. Whereas now we are going to completely wrong things, away from deen. The minute we left this deen and we following what they have now bringing, and they want to dominate the world, and they have succeeded to whatever extent. Like for example, Jews and Christians, by and large, they have wiped them off and their religion. And their deen wasn't going to be protected also, because Allah didn't take the responsibility. The ulama were responsible, they protected it at the beginning, but a few decades, a few generations, and then their deen started getting changed, and today is a complete different picture. What Isa alayhi salam brought, that he said, worship Allah, and they started worshipping Isa alayhi salam. They came with the stupid, the minute you leave commands of Allah, they went into Trinity, which is three is one and one is three, which nobody can understand and nobody can explain. But they believe in it and they give their lives for that. They give their lives for the cross. That, and they believe wrongly that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was crucified. So all these wrong things then come into a person's life. So these people, the minute they went away from the commands of Allah, they came into all those things. So for example, and now it has been pushed down to us, this is where we have to be careful. We have to see that there is no Islamic banking, and we have accepted it. There is no banking in Islam, we have accepted Islamic banking. Just with all, it is just the terminology, that mask of Islamic terminology is put, inside it is all interest, which Hazrat Mufti Saeed Palanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi was the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Dioban for many years. Whenever he was asked about banking, he said, don't speak further. The foundation of banking is interest. And interest, categorically Islam has made it haram. So the things which foundation is haram, then how can that building be halal? How can you have halal banking, halal financing? But today, our people, our scholars, with all their terminology, have made it halal. Another thing we see, for example, insurance. Insurance, if we go and see, and we can go on the internet and check, insurance and gambling, the rules which they have made for gambling, the same rules apply to insurance. That is, those people who run that gambling place, or those people who run insurance companies, that how much of possibility there is of loss, and how we must work, they've got their formulas properly, and they will pay out also. Gambling also, they are winners. And insurance also, you get paid out, but it's a very paltry sum. And at the top, in almost all cases, it is Jews who are sitting. They've got all this under them, whether it's gambling dens, whether it is insurance companies, the Jews are on top. And they've got all other companies and people under them, they also get their share. But they are making, what share they making for doing nothing whatsoever. And the amount of money they are making. And this insurance, as we have explained a few times, they will give you a good picture. Take out a life policy, for example, or anything else. It's all a gamble first, and it is interest. So when you are you take out a policy, we will pay you out 10 million rand. In our day's time, you take out a policy for 10 million rand, 20 million rand. But in the wake of it, what results, which nobody of us is unaware, that how many gruesome, terrible murders are committed. Take out a policy for the wife, and then you have your wife murdered. Take out a policy for your grandmother, and then you have your grandmother murdered, and in such terrible ways, you have your own grandmother murdered also. And this is a daily occurrence all the time. So this is what that religion of theirs, which they are pushing down. And all this comes with its baggage also. In that, they have got what they call also education. And all the education system. One was that Darwin's theory, that just to complete that part, that how did the world come into existence with Darwin's theory, and that with the monkey, then there's no answers they got. Whether it was a male, female, and then where did the first monkey come from, and then where did the world come from? Then they came up with the Big Bang story. And in the Big Bang story, they say that everything was piled up, and then it was just, there was a bang, and everything fell into place. And even if that is the case, who caused that bang? Where did that come from? There must be somebody. Who is that? And common sense tells us that just a small bang, not a big bang, nothing gets made. Everything breaks with a bang. But they say a big bang took place and everything 100% fell in place. Insan's eyes came on its place, the eyes are functioning, the brains came on their place, the whole insan itself, all the animal world, the seas came on their place, the sea waters are not running over the land, the mountains on their place, with one big bang, all this came into place. So this is what those people, and they are pushing their agenda. So what we have to be careful, we don't get trapped. And they doing it also, and they using our scholars. And when we hear our scholars saying it, we also, that is the danger place, very great danger, where we also fall. So they pushing all the thing. Then with regard to the education, and education they started, what started with simple arithmetic, reading, writing and arithmetic, which everyone felt was necessary and just we need. But today it is where they are teaching Darwin's theory of evolution. Across the board in all the schools they are teaching. Sex education. You don't have to teach a person about sex. It's a natural thing within a person. You have to teach him to control his lust. You don't have to teach him to give vent to your lust. That is the thing which generally is out of control normally of every person. What has to be taught is to control it. You don't have to teach immorality. You have to teach morality. So they are doing it everything, and today it's in our. And the worst things which are going to come about lesbianism, gays, same-sex marriages, gender equality, and now they are using us. This is where we have to be careful, and we have to learn and know where to draw the line. And we have to know what it is all. So with that, another thing which they have overwhelmed us is with sports. Sports which started off with a little bit of kicking a ball and hitting a ball. Today it has become not a religion, but a god. Today people will actually call their main sports people, he's my idol. And really, it is no exaggeration. Just as we know Hindus will worship their idol, they take that person as their idol. That person can be the person who has got the worst habits. He may be a drunkard also. He may be a drug addict also. It can be a film actress who is a woman selling her body. She's got some voice she has got, or she knows how to act, and what her life is so terrible. All these people, they have got kufr and shirk in their heart. They don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. And that person, see how, what stupidity we have gone, that is now my idol. Hey, there's two friends who used to go to one sheikh regularly in our country. On one occasion, the one person wasn't coming for quite a while. So he asked the other one, where's he? So he says he came home one day and he said, I'm very sick and that, and get the doctors for me, take me to this. You're normal, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. So he insisted, get the paramedics, get the ambulance. Finally they had to send him to hospital. He went into a coma. And in his coma he made a fist. And some famous soccer player, he told, that's my idol, that's my god. And he died in that. Now if this is what sports leads us to, and today how much of us, so much so that we got deen teams also. Teams are in our deen, from our masjid now we got teams also. And just imagine where they have taken us, and we are not aware. Sports, we all will think it's nothing wrong, we're just kicking a ball, just hitting a ball or something like that. But just see where they have taken us. So all these things we have to be very, very careful with regard to the education, what things they are teaching us, what our children are being taught. So they have brought us to this point here. So this is that religion which they are pushing. And each one of us, I myself have to see whether it is now in my life, when I was a young boy, and how much of their things were in our lives, now how much is in my life, how much in my family, our community, how much of their lifestyle. Whether it is a house we build, what do we ever give thought of it? How many of us, not only that the bathroom, the toilet, the basin, all is in one. Now we can't read our duas there. If the toilet was separate, it was a separate thing. Now it's all in one. Now so much so that the open plan kitchen, and even now open plan bedroom also. One good friend of ours went to one of the, what now that's also a prestigious thing to go and live in the white areas, etc. All those places. So they went there, they went and visited there, and he had to go to the toilet. It was an open plan bedroom. Next he realized it's like it's all open, and he's sitting in the toilet there. So where they have taken us, so we don't realize, so we have to think. Now all this year what they have done, and they are pushing it to us, we find now in our deen, it has come to a place where a person, if he will say mildly, soberly, in a nice way, now we got the conservative Islam, conservative Muslims, they one group, and the modern Muslims, they also Muslims, these are also Muslims, all are Muslims. So the two groups are made. Now the one group which is the conservative group, those who are those people who believe what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Quran Sharif said, and they are firm on that. And how firm? Just to understand, which is a thing which we are all lacking very much, and we are not conscious. Allah give me tawfiq, all of us, that we work on this, our yaqeen and our iman. To give an example, Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be living in a jungle and you will die in the jungle. You will be just you and your wife, your family, living like one family, like many of us knew, some of our families living on a farm where you don't see anyone else around. They were just living there, that one family. But your janazah will be read by a group of the Sahaba. When his time came close to passing away, he told his wife that this goat we got, slaughter it and prepare food. I'm going to be dying now. I'm going to meet my Allah Ta'ala. Then you give me my ghusl and everything, and the road that leads to Medina Sharif, from our house put my janazah there, by the road that leads to Medina Sharif, a group of Sahaba will come and they will perform my janazah namaz. No sign, a farm life is dead silent. Only the bird sounds you hear or something like that. No human being around there. But what yaqeen he had. And he said, you must put nothing but her yaqeen also. She slaughtered the goat, she prepared the food, he passed away. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alone in a jungle you will pass away. And ghusl kafan, and she put his janaza by the road. And she's looking, nobody. And again, second, third time she went in the house, came again. Third time she saw dust rising. And that was the sign in those days that there is a caravan coming, a group of people. Not before long, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what his friends had come there. La ilaha illallah. What is this? Janaza here. The lady sitting with all covered. What's happening? She said, who are you people? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this is your brother Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then they performed the janaza, etc. So that yaqeen they had. Today we haven't got yaqeen on Ayatul Kursi. We haven't got yaqeen on the three quls. We haven't got yaqeen on the Quran, on duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we got yaqeen, is these kufr people, what they have said now. Atheists, what they are saying, and we are so strong, like for example, whether it be the protocols or anything else, their insurance policy, their education, their sports is going to give us enjoyment. Their holiday is a break for us. Their honeymoon is the way we have to go. You want to make your marriage a success? But before you get married, you must date one another, go out with one another. All the we got yaqeen, and what Islam has taught us, ask ourselves how much yaqeen. So now we have to choose, is it this Islam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we want to follow, or we want to follow the Islam which these people have given us, which we call today the modern Islam. And any person who wants to follow the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all types of words will be said with him. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam declared and said, Bada al Islamu ghariba. Islam will start in a complete different way. And all the Anbiya came. The people at the time, they were in power. The general people. And they warned the Anbiya, if you're going to carry on with your teaching, we will do this to you. We will do that to you. The same in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Quraysh of Makkah, it was the government, their government, and the hassles and the troubles again. So it's nothing new today also. And it was a new type of religion. The kuffar of Makkah could not understand that your Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches you even how to go to toilet, and our complete private life of a husband and wife, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us directions for that. But if I want to get married, I will go to a bookshop and buy some kafir's book. That how to relate with your wife and how to go about your things. But the teachings of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, forget having yaqeen, we are not even aware that this detail, how I must spend my first night, when I meet my wife the first night, what are the things to be done according to sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are not aware, and we don't want to be aware. We follow their ways. Education, the education of Quran and Hadith means like nothing to us. But their education, from the age of, one time in Malawi I saw a notice while we were driving on the road, from age zero, you hand your children to us and we will start educate. The mother must give birth, she goes back to work and give the child over to them. This is what they want. And we are falling for this by and large. So that has come into us. But Islam is a different way. Today let us see in my life how much am I different from the non-believer. Hey, whether it is our weddings, whether it is the education of our children, whether it is our dressing, whether it is anything else of ours, whether it is my financial matters, our dealing with the banks, insurance policies, all these things, how much am I different from? And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that Islam will be a different religion. People will see it and recognize it as different. The non-believers realize that we are Muslims and we are different. But me, myself, I don't realize I'm also a different, and so different that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Adhan, he said, when the Mashura was made, somebody suggested have belts like the chair, like the Christians. Somebody said blow the trumpet like the Jews. Somebody said burn a fire like the fire worshippers. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, then Allah introduced the Adhan. Our dates, Islamic dates, our own calendar we got. Everything of ours is different. Then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, a time will come in my ummah that if you want to follow that deen of mine, it will be like you are holding, it will be like. This word like is very important. Like you will be holding burning coal in your palms. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam didn't say you will be holding burning coals. So we don't have to be frightened and get frightened. It is just like. It will be a bit, and Allah's help will be with you. You won't have to carry burning coal. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." A believer will be in a prison. Wa jannatul kafir, and for the kafir will be freedom. So we have to choose. I want to be in the prison of this dunya, or I want to be in a prison. I want to be in freedom. I want to be in jannat freedom. I can do what I want to. I don't have to worry who I have relations, who I marry. A man marries a man, woman marries a woman, whatever. I want to change my gender, I can change my gender. I can do whatever I want to. Freedom. Do we want to live that life, or we want to live this life like we are in restriction? The laws of Allah Ta'ala. So yeah, it will be like having a burning embers in the hand. And that life will be a life of freedom. This will be for 60, 70 years less or more. But then for a life which is not a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, forever and ever, the roles will be changed. Now they won't be like burning embers. Now it will be living in Jannah. And living in all the pleasure of Allah. And all the enjoyment of Jannah. And on the other side, it won't be now that life of freedom. But it will be total restriction. So much so that one's own ribs of one side, they won't be placed, they will be also crushed one into the other. So much so that a person will say in kuntu fi dunya lima hashartani a'ma wa qad kuntu basira. How come, Ya Allah, you have raised me up blind I was a seeing person. No eyesight for that person. And the fire is not the only punishment. It's the main punishment. But all other terrible punishment. And forever and ever. So it is for us to see which way. And everyone, we don't have to wait for any alim to tell us, for any sheikh to tell us what to do. Everyone knows for himself that I want to go in the way of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam or the modern way of deen. Which way I want to go? What are the things of it in this dunya? What will be of it forever in the akhirat? It is up to everyone that we make up our own mind. May Allah guide us to righteousness and let us make the correct decision and follow the correct way, and Allah protect us. And it's only by the fadl of Allah, and we beg Him for His fadl. He gave us iman free of charge. Let us appreciate that. And now look after this iman, and that is also by begging Allah for his protection. May Allah guide us and lead us to His pleasure, inshallah.